Okay, if you'll turn in your Bibles this morning, you will turn to the book of John, chapter 12. John, chapter 12 this morning. John, chapter 12, we've been going through the book of John, and I was reminded this morning of my mother. My mother passed away 16 years ago now, Thanksgiving, almost 16 years. And I was think about being humbled, and then I realized that my mother taught me a lot of things about life that I learned from my mom. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She said, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. She taught me about religion, too. Mom was good at that. She said, you better pray that we'll come out of the carpet, things like that. She taught me time travel. She said, if you don't stop it, I'll knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me logic as well. She just, because I said so, that's why. She taught me more than logic. She said, if you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. She also taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. I never understood that. What, do you keep an extra pair in a glove box or what? She also taught me about hypocrisy. She said, if I've told you once, I've told you a million times. Do not exaggerate. She taught me genetics, too. She said, you're just like your father. How many had moms like that? Can we pray this morning? Father, I thank you so much for your great call that you have on our lives. Lord, we're a generation that is on the edge of destiny. Father, we're thanking you for what's happening all over the world right now, God. There's positioning taking place. Lord, there's a global awareness that we're coming to a decision time, a global awareness of the end is near. All of those things, Father, but we thank you, God, that we're going out with a bang. We're going out with power and anointing, God. We're going to see thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people turn to you, Lord. Our Jewish brothers and sisters, Lord, those in Russia, those in China, but right here in America, God, right here in America, Father, we pray for a revival that goes deep, Lord, that touches souls, Father. And Lord, the only way we're going to do that is to yield to you, Father. And we do that. We yield to you this morning. Thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, let us gain knowledge from it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be reading John chapter 12, the triumphal entry, in a couple weeks. So I want to kind of skip over that and go down to verse 20 and read John 12, 20. I want to start there this morning. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. You know, Jesus had just made his entrance into Jerusalem, and the way he came was an entrance for a king. He came riding on a donkey. People knew that when someone was coming in and all those crowds, it must be a king. And so we see that the Greeks, too, who were proselytes, and they came to Jerusalem for the Passover, they came to see Jesus as king. Now, they had heard stories. Certainly, it was a buzz what happened just recently with Lazarus. But Jesus came, and I thought about this morning. We know what happened. We know the result of his entrance into Jerusalem. It was his last time. He was coming down from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem, and people were saying, Hosanna to God in the highest, and throwing their palms and throwing their coats and doing all of that. But Jesus was coming to die. Jesus was making a descent into Jerusalem to die for all of mankind. And I would say that probably everybody in the crowd, including the Greeks that wanted to see Jesus, they wanted to see the king. They wanted to get next to and be famous for having seen and greeted and talked to the King of Kings. The one that was going to establish his throne. The one that was going to be over Rome. Can you imagine the excitement that was in that crowd? But Jesus knew when he was coming what time it was. This was his last deal. This was his last time being seen so much in public. The rest of John talks about his teachings with the disciples and alone and having washing feet and taking the Passover Seder and going to the Mount of Olives to pray and then his eventual arrest. And so here we see Jesus that had his mind on and had his set somewhere in the scriptures. It says he set his face towards Jerusalem because he knew of the sacrifice that he was going to make. And I think that thinking about that in this time and this hour that you and I are at the same place. We're at a place where God is calling us to sacrifice. It's quiet in here. God's calling us to sacrifice, to lay down our life, to be servants of this generation. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 23. He said, "But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." The time had arrived for Christ to be offered up. And he said to the Greeks who wished to see him, he said to them, if you want to follow me, you've got to serve, you've got to lay down your life. And it wasn't the first time he had said this message, and he stated the truth plainly to them. This was not a time of enthroning for Christ, it was a time of entombing. He was headed for a tomb. It was not a time of celebration, it was one of consecration. And I believe in this hour, I'm all for happiness and joy, and I'm a joyous kind of guy, but God is calling us to lay down our lives for this generation. He's calling us to humility. The very thing He was about to do, He calls us to do. In every other venue in our lives, we are asked to make a name, to be recognized, lauded, and applauded. I saw where somebody scored 67 points in an NBA game. We love heroes. We love to take people and set them up on a pedestal. But in His kingdom, we are commanded to lay down our lives. Matter of fact, we're called to be zero with the rim kicked off. We're nothing and He is everything. Our Lord, when He was here on this earth, said that same thing. He said, I am nothing. I can do nothing unless He tells me. So we're connected to God in a way, and this story connects with us because Jesus, who probably had the biggest crowd they had ever seen, certainly they didn't applaud Herod when he came in. Certainly most of the Jews never applauded Caesar. But when Jesus came down, the whole city went out to see Him. After all, here was a guy that raised somebody from the dead. He'd done all those signs. And it's exciting being a Christian. It's exciting being together. It's exciting seeing a church grow. It's exciting to see a community shake. But if we forget ourselves, if we forget who God called us to be, we'll frustrate the plans of God. God wants us to disappear. God wants us to be humble people to say we are completely and totally sold out to God's plan, not ours. Turn with me to Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. This wasn't the first time this theme of Christ's ministry. I mean, we're going to talk about it in a couple of weeks, but can you imagine the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords sitting around a table and taking his clothes off and stripping and washing feet? What king does that? Say, well, he was supposed to do that. Well, look, we are supposed to be like him. He's our example. Matthew 10, verse 37. He says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Man, that is as plain as you can get. I mean, there's no commentary you need to read. You don't need to look at Matthew Henry commentary to say what this is saying. All he's going to say is what you're reading face value. Put no one before Christ. Everyone will be important on one day. When we appear with Him in the heavenlies, we'll be important. Till then, it's not about us. Jesus was coming down from the Mount of Olives. You could smell the dust. You could see the crowds. Hear the whole crowd is, and He's sitting, and He's in His robe, and He's sitting on the donkey, and they're throwing things in front. The same people that were going to say, crucify Him, just less than a week later. 6 days later, they're screaming for His crucifixion. The only one that knew exactly what was happening, Jesus said, the time is here. And if anything needs to happen in our lives, we need to realize the hour we're in. Atheists would believe we're in that time, we're getting close to the quantum leap where we're going to be gods. You know, there are people who believe that we're going through an evolutionary thing that's going to happen and the whole planet's going to change. There are people applauding that. And listen, I'm applauding the return of the King, but my heart breaks for the people that have no idea what's about to happen. Jesus, this time, is not coming in humility. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So He says, put no one before me. He who loves father or mother more than he's not telling you to hate your parents or your wife or your... He's saying, if I don't come first in your life, you're missing it. See, Christ comes first in our life. And He says to take up your cross. Those condemned to die, when He said that, they understood, because those condemned to die were made to carry their cross, usually naked, through the streets. We are called to carry what is a stigma to those who are perishing. You and I carry our cross every day when we declare Jesus Christ. It's not a popular thing. In fact, it's getting less and less popular to talk about Jesus. Then flip over to Matthew 16, 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. And Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Then He adds this, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Rhetorical questions. But something that we think about. What it would be like to be rich. I mean, really rich. You know, like Zuckerman rich. Ride around your private jet and have no concern for money. You just spend it like it's going out of style. What it would be like. But Jesus spoke to that knowing the bent of the human psyche. He said, what's it going to profit you if you gain everything and you lose your soul? Given a choice, which would most people choose? They'd choose riches. Certainly not laying down your life, but our King, our Lord, the one we follow, laid down His life. I had a real life lesson. So I pastored for quite a while, and all of a sudden, I was a salesman. Time in my life when I was out of ministry for a while. And so I got a job in selling timeshare. And I worked hard. I was the first one to make a sale. It was a new startup location. And so I asked for Sunday off. And they said no. And so I had to work Sundays. And I had to provide for my family. And a lot of people say, well, you should have made a stand. What I did was believe God. Because when I asked to have Sundays off, they said no. But after about 6 weeks, I asked Sundays off. They said, you can take any time off you like. Because I served and became the best at what I was called to do for that business. They knew that when I was there, I was going to sell something. So we made a deal. I didn't have to work during church time. There's a lot of people mad about that, that I worked with. It was because I humbled myself. You'll never go wrong when you humble yourself and do the right thing. Even if it's for your business. See, we're called to influence every area of our lives. Not just church. We're not to impress just each other. Amen. Oh, I saw you in church the other day and you were looking good. I'm impressed. Man, you never miss a time, man. I see you right over there on the right-hand side. You're always lifting your hands. Humility is not anything like we think it is. Humbling ourselves is being obedient to God. That's true humility is being obedient to the Lord. And I loved it because I put God first in that job. God taught me a lot about it. Because prior to that, I was pastoring for about 10 years. And I thought, man, you know, I don't have to do that. You know, if this is church time, I'm going to... But being humble and serving and watching the company get blessed because of my obedience taught me so much about God. Because it gave me opportunity. I've given this testimony lots, but I interviewed with the lady that was in charge, and she said, I know you're a Christian, I know you're a pastor, but I don't want to hear anything about God. I want you to come and do your job, and I want you to shut up. And she said several things that I can't repeat in public. And so about 6 months after I worked there, she came and asked me to pray for her. And several times I gave her prophetic words in her office. I'd say, would you like to step into your office? And I'd prophesy. She said, how'd you know that? I said, I've been praying for you. Come on, somebody. Yeah. If you'll just do what's right, and you'll see, doors will open for you. I imagine everybody has a testimony like that in here this morning. Humility, the way up in the kingdom is down. Come on, somebody. If you want to be the master, Jesus said, if you want to be the leader of all, you must serve all. That means all. Turn to somebody and say all. That means we're to serve the least of us or the greatest of us. We're called to service. Turn in your Bibles to Mark 8. Again, Mark reiterates the same thing as Matthew had said, but then he adds a little bit. He had called the people to himself in verse 34 with his disciples also. He said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And here's the extra. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So he trumps this die to yourself thing with saying, if you're going to be ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Now can you imagine, here comes Jesus and you're coming, you're approaching him, and he says, you know, I died for you and I shed my blood for you. But, and he looks sideways and he says, I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed of you. That's what this says. To make a stand for an invisible kingdom is a gut-wrenching, pride-swallowing thing to do. But it must be done. Truth is truth, no matter what the majority says. Can you imagine our Lord being ashamed to welcome, introduce, or receive you? We're not talking about eternal destinies now. We're talking about what happens when we get there. I don't know about you, but I don't want the door just slamming right behind me. Just made it by the skin of my teeth. I want to hear that words coming from His mouth. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Luke 9, 23 through 26 says the same thing. He says it again. All of the Gospels share this. And then in Luke 17, 32 it says, remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. What are we to ascertain from these words? We must get this if we are to do great exploits for God. It means the difference between mediocrity and greatness. In this hour, God is looking for a faceless generation. All of us to take, that's why we're calling, one of the things the Lord has laid on our heart for New Life, the elders, just we're so passionate about being a church that is praying. God is calling us to task. God is calling us. He's saying, okay, it's time to ante up. You say you love me. Now I want you to pray. I want you to give yourself to me. All of us are being called to do that. Not one of us in this church is called to ride in the back seat and enjoy. We're all called to activity. We can all do something. Does God care and hear about your prayers? You better believe He does. He activates His kingdom on the prayers of the saints. If we act, heaven reacts. Many times in our life, we wait for heaven to act, and heaven says, I'm not going to act until you ask. We put all the responsibility on God. God, You called me to this. You guide me. You get me up in the morning. You wake me up. Holy Spirit, wake me up at 5 o'clock. Well, why do you have the alarm clock for? Holy Spirit, make me read the Bible. That's why I invented remote controls. Off, on, off, on, off, on. Come on, somebody. Let's think about serving God and being in the kingdom. God wants to use us. There's a million other things our Lord could have been doing than coming down this mountain from the Mount of Olives down in Jerusalem. There's a million things that went through His head. As a matter of fact, we get a picture of what it was when He was in the garden. And He said, if it be Your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, you know, it's all right to have questions. But in the end, God is looking for obedient people. John 12:27. Jesus asked a rhetorical question. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify Your name. A voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoke to Him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Hallelujah. Then he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. So Jesus says to these people publicly, one of his last public statements that he makes, he said, now my soul is troubled and what shall I say? And there's a troubling in our souls. This means ante up time. This is, okay, this is a gut-wrenching time when God is calling His church finally to stand, especially in this nation. We're eons behind other nations where people are giving their lives every day for the gospel. Thousands are being saved and we applaud that, but the reason is they're seeing brothers and sisters give their very lives for the gospel. The church is being built on the blood of the martyrs in this hour. We here in the United States don't understand that. There may be a coming a time very quickly when we'll more than understand. It's for this hour that we were born. It's for this hour that we're here. Everything leading up to this hour was made for you and I. All the life experiences that we've had, it's for a reason. Say, well, you're getting a little bit, you know, ooey, ooey. No. Our life is destined by God Himself. Why do you think the Scripture says all things work together for the good? Bill Hybels, and I quote, he said, "Once His life on earth began, Jesus never stopped descending. Omnipotent, He cried. The owner of all things, He had no home. The King of kings, He became a bondservant. The source of truth, He was found guilty of blasphemy. The Creator, He was spit on by the creatures. The giver of life, He was crucified naked on a cross, bleeding, gasping for air. With His death, the descent was complete from the pinnacle of praise in the universe to the ultimate debasement and torture of death on a cross, the innocent victim of human wickedness. With His life and death as a man, Christ violated every tenet of the world system. The highest came to serve the lowest. The Creator and Sustainer of all things came to pour Himself out. The One who possessed everything became nothing. From the world's perspective, the cross became the symbol of foolishness. Yet in God's eyes, Christ became the greatest of the great. He had totally accomplished the purpose which God had sent Him to do. He had pleased His Father and advanced God's kingdom on earth. And Philippians states that because of Christ's downward mobility, God highly exalted Him and gave Him a name above every name. Here's the twist about that. Jesus Christ descended into God's greatness. He descended into God's greatness. I don't know why. I don't know why it's like that. I like much better going up than down. Come on, somebody. I like it being easier than harder. Don't let me alone out here. Come on, how many like it easier? Don't you like when everything's just going your way? Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. Life is going very good. Everything's going my way. Everything's going my way. Going down the road at 70 miles an hour is not a cop in sight. Just had the 2 Egg McMuffin special from McDonald's. The sun's shining. Full tank of gas. Everything's going my way. Get on the phone. The phone's dead because you forgot to charge it. Somebody stops, walks up and says, "Do you need help?" You can see the tear stains on their cheeks. I don't have any purpose in life. All of that happened so you could be a light. We fool ourselves. We believe we're in control of our life. And if we are in control of our life, we give it up. We give it up. God, You're in control. Full control of my life. It's one thing to say it. It's another to live it. Jesus said, glorify Yourself. Glorify Your name, God. Jesus said it. The answer came from heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. He had spoken at the baptism and at the Mount of Transfiguration, and He would again speak, but God will always be glorified. Either He will be heard or clearly misunderstood, but He will be glorified. Some said it thundered. Some without an ear to hear God says it's thunder. Even when there's a clear word from God, some will never hear it. We're in a generation right now where God's speaking pretty plainly. He's speaking pretty plainly from heaven. Some will never hear it. Their ears have been stopped by sin to the point of spiritual deafness. Others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus said in Matthew 13, said, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, bottom line is, Jesus was talking about speaking to people that would never hear. And he said this, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. The Lord will be glorified, and in the process we will be given a chance to glorify Him by our obedience. He goes on to say in verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. The world is already judged. I hear people saying all the time, this is the judgment of God. The world's already judged. There's no new judgment coming unless there's repentance. The judgment on this world is destruction. The world is headed pell-mell to destruction. It was designed to fail. It was made to fall apart. We live in a world that's coming to an end. In all areas of our, every quadrant that we look at, it's coming to an end. People speak of nations being blessed, but they do not realize until there is repentance, there can be no blessing. We talk about all the time, well, our nation's blessed. No, our nation's not blessed. Our nation is full of murderers. Come on, 57 million murders. There's 300 million in our nation. 57 million have been killed. What's the percentage? We're not a nation that's blessed. We're a nation that's under the curse. There are people in the nation that are blessed. I'm blessed. But I stand in the gap for this nation. You and I, our obedience stands in the gap for the nation. Little did anybody realize when Jesus was coming down and they were lauding Him and clapping and applauding Him, He was going to take the lowest of the low. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, the Scripture says. Naked before the world. The lowest of the low to get to the highest of the high. And that's what He calls you and I to do. He calls us to the lowest. Yes, we're blessed, but we live in a nation that absolutely needs to hear. We've been living under the mercy of God for many years as a nation, not the blessings. God's merciful to us, not willing that any should perish. We say, well, our nation's blessed. No, God's just holding off. Mercy, 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 mercy. Mercy, I'll give you mercy, I'll give you mercy, I'll give you another chance, I'll give you mercy, I'll give you grace, I'll give you mercy, I'll give you grace. Not blessing! We're not blessed! We live in a nation that absolutely needs to turn its heart back to God. And the only thing that's going to do that is crying out to Him in prayer. And humbling ourselves in this generation. Jesus knew when He was coming down the mountain. He knew where He was headed. He may have been looking off into the... He knew where Golgotha was. He may have been looking off into there saying, now the time has come. Now all of this is going to be gone. I'm going to be hanging on a tree. And it may take the blood of the martyrs in this nation. It may take people dying. I don't know what it's going to take. One thing I do know is that we've got to cry out to God. He even said it in verse 32, He says, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all peoples to myself. This He said, signifying by what death He would die. Can you imagine what must have been going through His heart, knowing what was going to happen? Everybody else throwing a party, everybody else having the conversation, hey, that's the guy that rose Lazarus, come on, let's go see him. And giving their, what they thought was their best. Because everybody likes a hero. Here comes the hero, the guy that rose the guy from the dead. I don't remember his name, but let's throw our clothes on the road. He's got to be the king. Sadly, there are churches that are packed out this morning. Churches that are that have long ago done their... an hour, you're out. Three songs and a hallelujah. Pass the bucket and see you next week. Because everybody loves a hero. It's Jesus. Jesus Christ, He loves me. He loves everything about me. He doesn't care about my sin. He doesn't care about anything but just loving me. He loves me. He's always good to me. He always wants me to prosper. He's pouring His Spirit upon me. Look at the car I drive. Look at the clothes I wear. You've got your reward. That's your reward. And it's more and more and more and more and more like that. The Word of God is skewered. The Word of God has looked askance at. It's not true anymore. It can't be true. One of the most famous preachers of our generation said, why are we listening to a Bible that was written to a word that was written 2,000 years ago? That's not the way heaven feels anymore. Wow. One of the most famous mega church pastors alive today is speaking that kind of vile, vile lies. Jesus had to die for the sins of the world. He had to die. He knew it. He knew when He was coming. And all the people were shouting and trying to get close to Him. They were looking at world domination, those people. Those that knew, those that were in the know, said, this is it, man. This is where we establish stuff. This is where we rule and reign. Man, praise God. It's going to happen. The king is going to take the throne in Rome. He's going to take over the world. Everybody likes a hero. That's why we get excited when we talk about Jesus ruling and reigning. But it's not going to happen without going down. Humility. Verse 35 in John 12, it says, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed. The light of the world lives in us. And you know what? It shines at the weirdest times. We don't want it to sometimes, and it just shines through. Somebody comes and asks us questions that, how did they know we'd have an answer? It's like Tom was giving testimony to people just asking for prayer. John Shiver shared he was in India and just sitting on a bench waiting for a bus or a taxi or something, and somebody walked up beside him. A Muslim walked up beside him, sat down and said, can you pray for me? He was just in street clothes, just sitting there minding his own business. Your light's shining. If you try to put it under a bushel, you're going to be miserable. That's why a lot of Christians look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. I'm a Christian, but I don't want anybody to know it. Because that means if I tell somebody I'm a Christian, then I've got responsibility. Hey, you're a Christian. Why don't you pray for me? I'm sick. Can you lay hands on me? Hey, well, let me call so-and-so. Let me call the pastor. Let me come to church. I don't want to go to church. I want you to pray for me. You're the light, right? I see something in you. Come on, somebody. Someone said there are two great moments in a person's life. The moment you were born and the moment you realize why you were born. When you finally realize why you were born. We were born to be humble, to be servants of this generation. Yeah, success, yeah, all of that, sure. God wants to bless us. That's all side issues. That's all side issues. Come on, somebody. We make the gospel to be somewhere where we gain. I mean, if you're a good Christian, you'll be rich. If you're a good Christian, you'll never be sick. If you're a good Christian, forget all that. That's side issues. If you're a Christian, you're a representative of the kingdom. Amen. People that died at the stake, burning at the stake, clapping their hands and giving the glory to God. People who are dying right now, being beheaded in other countries. They're no less blessed than you and I. Come on, somebody. We've got to have that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Scripture says, dwell in you, He shall quicken your mortal body. Listen, the Spirit of Christ, The Spirit of Christ, our King and our Lord, was coming down that hill from the Mount of Olives, knowing that it was going to end in death. We get the picture now because we see the whole thing. We read the last. He's resurrected. But when you're standing there on with Him and you're coming down from the Mount of Olives beside Him, you see the crowd, you see the thing. And He had just said prior to that, He said, the Son of Man is going up and Gentiles will lift Him up and have their way with Him and kill Him. They had just heard that coming from His mouth. Now, oh, He must be mistaken. Look, the whole crowd's out here. There is no traffic jam on the second mile of life. God is asking us to lay down our lives, to be humble. We're not going to find a lot of company there. The company's at the... Man, God just wants... He's blessing my socks off. I'm rich and blessed. And it's another gospel. It's another gospel. It's another gospel. And Paul said, if I or an angel from heaven come and preach to you another gospel, may he be anathema, may he be accursed. Don't buy the lie of the other gospel. It says everything is peachy keen and we're going to end up with ice cream and cake and heaven to boot. Let me ask you some questions in closing today. Are you asleep in the light right now? Are you just kind of cruising through waiting until heaven or bringing heaven here? Some are here saying, man, I walked the walk. I did for years. It's time for me to take it easy. No, it's not. Keep on going until you draw your last breath. Some are here are saying, you know, I'm too young. I'm not ready yet. That's hockey sticks. Come on, that's not true. God wants to use you. Doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Are you asleep in the light right now? Are you waiting until you have to? Let me ask you another question. Are you maintaining or are you gaining? Someone said, I'm blessed and highly favored. Are you? God paying attention to your prayers when you pray, does heaven hear? Are you praying, give them and bless them? Or are you praying, give me and bless me? Come on, somebody. That's where we live. It's not about us. It's about everybody that God wants to bring to Him. That's not here yet. What is God looking for as lights? How can I be a light? Some people change their ways when they see the light. Others change their ways when they feel the heat. God, make us people that are ready to hear You. And all the applause and all the love, because the church is once again being looked at. Trust me, in this world, the church is once again being looked at for answers. I don't know why we don't deserve it. But the earth is starting to look and say, maybe these guys were right. And it's going to be a time when you'll hear the applause of many. But don't you kid yourself. It's time to lay down our lives. Because when the applause ends, it means they're going to be asking, what must I do to be saved? And you know what the answer will be? Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Not going to be popular. But those that will listen... Praise God. Praise God. It's your day. It's your life. It's God's timing. Father, thank You so much for Your goodness to us in this land, in the land of the living. Thank You, God, that as all the tremendous things are happening around us, we're excited, we're blessed, Father, to be a part of a group, God, that loves You. And Father, we see the growth, we see the attaining of things that we thought never possible, but Father, help keep us humble, God, in this moment, in this hour that we live in. Humility must be ours, oh God, that we would, everybody else's eyes may be on one thing, but our eyes are on the cross that we must carry. Our eyes, God, are are looking to what you're calling us to do, to lay down our lives for you and to serve you with all of our being. Father, give us that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.